Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Code Silicon Valley and the Remaking of America by historian Margaret O'Mara, is a work of narrative history and political economy that explains how a small region in Northern California became the world-defining center of the digital age, rather than treating Silicon Valley as the inevitable product of lone geniuses and garage startups. O'Mara reconstructs the wider system that made repeated waves of innovation possible. She emphasizes the long partnership among federal power, especially Cold War defense and space priorities, research universities led by Stanford, and private firms skilled at turning technical advances into scalable businesses. The book follows the Valley across decades, showing how its culture of entrepreneurship, risk, and reinvention emerged alongside public investment and institutional planning. It also connects the rise of the tech industry to changes in American politics, including deregulation, new forms of corporate influence, and a shifting relationship between technology leaders and Washington. The purpose is to replace myth with context and to clarify what Silicon Valley has meant for the nation it helped remake. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, government funding as an early engine of innovation. A central argument of the book is that Silicon Valley did not grow outside the state, it grew with the state. O'Mara highlights how federal spending, especially during the Cold War, created sustained demand for advanced electronics and computing long before consumer markets existed. Defense and aerospace priorities helped fund research, buy early products, and support firms that could meet strict technical requirements. In this sense, government operated as a catalyst and a customer, shaping what problems were worth solving and providing resources to solve them at scale. The result was an ecosystem where engineers and entrepreneurs could move from lab work to commercial applications without waiting for immediate mass market profitability. This framing challenges the popular story that the Valley is primarily a triumph of private daring over public bureaucracy. O'Mara does not reduce innovation to government planning, but she insists that public investment and procurement made the early Valley feasible. The topic matters because it reframes current debates about technology policy, public research funding, and industrial strategy by showing that the Valley itself was built through long-term, mission-driven public commitments. Secondly, Stanford University and the institutional design of a tech region. O'Mara places Stanford at the center of Silicon Valley's rise, portraying the university not only as a source of talent, but as an institution that actively cultivated industry. The transformation of Stanford into a research powerhouse, closely linked to federally funded science and engineering, helped attract money, people, and prestige to the region. University labs, affiliated research networks, and a steady pipeline of trained engineers made it easier for local firms to start, hire, and adapt as technologies changed. Just as important, the university helped legitimize close ties among academia, business, and government, normalizing collaboration that many places found politically or culturally difficult. Silicon Valley's distinctiveness, in this view, came partly from institutional choices building facilities, encouraging applied research, and creating an environment where new ventures could spin out of established organizations. O'Mara uses this to counter the idea that innovation clusters simply appear where creativity is highest. They are also built through governance, incentives, and long-term investment in knowledge infrastructure. For readers, the Stanford story becomes a concrete example of how regional innovation depends on anchor institutions that can convene capital, policy, and technical expertise over decades. Thirdly, myth versus reality in Silicon Valley's origin story. The book is a sustained exercise in myth-busting. O'Mara challenges the romantic narrative that Silicon Valley was born mainly from counterculture rebellion and heroic entrepreneurs operating against the establishment, without denying the influence of cultural experimentation or individual ambition. She argues that the Valley emerged from a more conventional American story of state-supported research, corporate contracting, and institutional dealmaking. This correction changes how the region's identity is understood. The Valley has often presented itself as anti-bureaucratic and self-made, yet it benefited from public money and public goals, and its leaders learned to navigate policy and power as much as technology. O'Mara also shows how simplified stories can obscure the people and structures that do not fit the legend, including the planners, administrators, and public servants who helped build the conditions for innovation. The payoff of this topic is analytical clarity. When Silicon Valley is treated as a unique miracle produced only by personality and culture, it becomes hard to learn from it or regulate it. When it is seen as a product of institutions and political choices, it becomes easier to ask practical questions about what can be replicated, what cannot, and what costs were ignored while the legend grew. Fourthly, the sandbox dynamic freedom to experiment alongside public support. O'Mara describes an arrangement that helps explain the Valley's unusual capacity for rapid experimentation, large flows of money and opportunity combined with relatively loose day-to-day interference in how technical teams pursued solutions. In the Cold War era especially, federal priorities created big budgets and urgent problems, while local organizations often had room to iterate, fail, and pivot as they worked toward usable outcomes. This sandbox dynamic helped create a culture where risk-taking was rewarded, and where networks of engineers, managers, and investors could move quickly between projects and firms. It also helped produce the belief that innovation requires minimal constraint, a belief that later became a defining part of Silicon Valley ideology. Omara treats this not as a timeless truth, but as a historically shaped environment that depended on specific political conditions, including bipartisan willingness to fund research and tolerate uncertainty. The sandbox idea matters today because it complicates simple policy prescriptions. It suggests that innovation is not just about letting markets work, and not just about government direction, but about the structure of relationships among funders, institutions, and builders. Understanding how this balance formed helps readers evaluate contemporary arguments about regulation, public investment, and the responsibilities of firms that grew powerful inside a publicly enabled playground. Lastly, from regional success to national political power. As Silicon Valley firms grew from contractors and startups into dominant global platforms, their relationship to American politics changed. Omara tracks this evolution as part of the broader remaking of America. The tech industry became a major economic force and increasingly a political actor. The book connects the Valley's rise to shifts in national policy environments, including the late 20th century move toward deregulation and the growth of corporate influence in Washington. Silicon Valley leaders often talked like outsiders, even as they gained insider power, shaping debates on labor, taxation, privacy, competition, and the role of government in the economy. Omara also explores how the products and business models of the digital era have altered civic life, from the structure of media to the speed and scale of communication. This topic is less about a single company and more about how an innovation hub becomes a governing force, sometimes without democratic accountability matching its reach. The value of this lens is that it treats the Valley not merely as a place that makes gadgets, but as a political economy that influences institutions, norms, and policy choices across the country. Readers come away better able to see tech power as historically produced rather than inevitable. In conclusion, The Code is best suited for readers who want to understand Silicon Valley as a historical and political creation, rather than a collection of inspiring founder stories. Policymakers, journalists, students of American history, and technology professionals will find it especially useful because it explains how public investment, research institutions, and private enterprise co-evolved over decades. The intellectual benefit is a sturdier framework for thinking about innovation. The book shows that breakthrough technologies often depend on patient funding, mission-driven demand, and dense local networks, not only on individual brilliance. It also helps readers interpret present-day conflicts over regulation and tech influence by grounding them in a longer story of shifting relationships between the Valley and Washington. Compared with many popular accounts of the tech industry, Omara offers a more systemic perspective, treating Silicon Valley as an ecosystem shaped by government programs, universities, and corporate strategies as much as by culture and charisma. That makes the book valuable even for readers already familiar with the standard mythology. It stands out in the category because it bridges technology history with political history, showing how the rise of one region became intertwined with broader changes in American economics and governance. The result is a clearer view of what built the Valley and what its dominance has cost and enabled. If you would like to support Margaret Omara, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.